Scene at RoboCop where they're like, you know, turning him on for the first time and setting him to record and stuff.
What, like where they do the stuff with the, have him track the pin?
Yeah.
Like tracking, target.
Now follow.
Tracking, target. You are gonna be a bad motherfucker. Did you see the remake? You did see the remake. Yeah. We talked about this.
Yeah, I did. Did you?
No, I still haven't seen it. Although Carol and I took some downtime last weekend and watched a lot of TV. So we'll talk about that.
Good. We can talk about what I've been watching, which has not been very geeky.
What have you been watching? Like football?
Gilmore Girls, of all things. Because Jane's still on the Gilmore Girls kick, and she will be for another 60 episodes.
I don't know if we should talk about that.
It's actually kind of interesting because they make a lot of references to stuff that, like, you know, you wouldn't expect them to make references to. Like, there's a lot of Godfather references in it. There's a lot of, like, obscure 80s stuff, Patty Hearst or something like that. But if you're well versed, then you like realize that like whoever's writing the show like wants to like make a lot of references to pop culture and stuff, even though most of the themes and plots of the stuff is, you know, not things that I would be interested in for the most part, or watching a TV show about anyway. I'm interested in, you know, young girls having sex, just not like watching TV about it.
Wait, is it set in the 80s?
No, it's set in like the 2044s. I mean, it starts in like 1999 or 2001, one or the other. I don't remember.
Can you still see me?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm like switching between screens, and I don't know if I'm still visible.
Well, your webcam's still webcams.
Yeah, I guess all those little instances of schools sending home laptops with kids and then spying on them should, I guess, make it clear yes. You can still see me even if I'm not looking at you. Which I am.
I'm not looking at you.
Yeah, well, I'm totally looking at you, because
look
we're.
Look at me.
Yes, I am, and I'm recording you, because we're live.
How long have you been recording me?
Quite a long time.
Yeah, I figured.
Hey, James.
Hello, Nick.
And hey, everybody else, welcome to Dork.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. And this is Dork.
This is Dork.
And James is back.
I am. I've always been black.
After an extended absence. Of 2 whole weeks. James has returned.
I'm back.
Via
I'm
remote.
Mad. I'm black and you're mad.
Yes. That's the way it would go. That's the way I see it.
Well, that's the way I like it.
Although without a tinge of Aussie accent and a wrecked mental history because of the Vietnam War.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Like, a lot of people forget that. Like the
I thought you were talking about Mel Gibson actually having a wrecked mental history. But then you're like, Vietnam War. It's like, oh, okay, but yeah.
No, the first Lethal Weapon, it had a whole bunch of references to Vietnam. In fact, it was all about the Vietnam War.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of that.
Well, like, the whole thing was, like, they were smuggling drugs. They started smuggling drugs in Nam.
His old Nam buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a shadow company. We used to run things, and then we kept doing it after the war. Illegal. Got money.
Yes.
It's an exact quote.
And then the dude, like, guilted him into finding his porn star daughter and what happened to her. Because he saved his life.
Yup. And then there was that Asian guy that's in, like, every movie where they need an Asian guy. The guy who played Genghis Khan in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes, what else did he do?
He was in Lethal Weapon. He was the guy that, like, knew more about torture than
most people ever. No, what was his name?
Feng Chu? I have no idea.
No. Gary Busey was Mr.
Mr. Joshua.
Mr. Joshua. And this is, and it's a real Chinesey name. It was like,
yeah.
This is egg roll.
This is sweet and sour sauce. He's forgotten more about torture than
you or I will ever know.
Go spit.
And then he shocked him with those car buffers.
Yeah. It's like, oh, these are sponges. They're fine. Don't worry about this.
Was that what it was? It was like sponges connected to a jumper cable?
Jumper cables, yeah. I guess it's, you know, the same concept where, like, you had to wet the sponge, like in
Green Mile.
Oh, Green Mile. The important part of
I guess that would work.
If you, I mean, it's a good conductor if it's wet, right?
Yeah, and you're rubbing it all over somebody's body, I guess it would electrocute them.
Yeah. Oh, that's my cat. Okay. I was like, what the hell is going on at my door?
Yeah.
Nemo hears my voice and thinks I'm, like, in need of company. Hold on a second. Stop that! No, it worked.
That's an added bonus to doing the show remotely. Is that the little bits of your life pop in. Because I can see James. I can just see his face with headphones on. And he's getting really close to the camera. That's not cool. Okay, I can see up you, James. He's still getting close. Stop it! So, something that happened last week. I'm trying to think the timeline here. Oh, no.
You're talking about when you forgot about who Boba Fett used his grappling line on?
No, my dog.
Okay. Oh, your dog would...
Not that one, the other one, Laika.
Oh, Laika with the beach towel.
Right. She barfed up a beach towel, but that wasn't it. There was more strings in her.
Oh.
So she kept throwing up for like 2 days and wasn't eating, and then I let her out, Tuesday morning, and she went outside and laid down and she wouldn't come back in. So I was like, well, shit. So we took her to the vet, and The vet had to open her up, like, and got in her stomach and her intestines, and it turns out she had, like, a beach towel's worth of string in her, and so now she's okay, but she's got a big Franken scar across her belly.
Ah, okay. Well, good. I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah.
She's doing better than any dog that the Soviets ever sent up into space.
Yeah, they brought a couple of them back.
Did they?
Yeah, not the first one. Laika died. Uh-huh. Well, the Soviets Laika, not mine. Mine's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence they're doing better then.
But they had better records as it went on, as far as bringing them back. I think.
I'm sure their records show that they had better records. Or that, you know. I'm sure that that's what they told the public.
If you look here, you'll see we did better as time went on. These are totally alive. Still alive now, 50 years later. A-okay, Moose and Squirrel. Those first two dogs in space.
Moose and Squirrel. What does Laika mean? Like, is it translated into any Russian
word? It means howler.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a stray dog. They used stray dogs for all the space missions because they were used to the cold and, like, rough environments.
Rough.
Yes, woof environments.
Makes sense.
But yeah, and they went through training, too. Like, they had them... Like, the capsule that they sent them up in, the little dog capsule, was basically like a box that they had to stand up in. And they had, like, tubes going in their butts to collect waste and all that. And then, they would, like, put them in centrifuges and all this stuff and have them stand up for, like, 3 days in this box. And then if they survived it, they're like, okay, cool, now off to space with you. Woofski.
Sorry, I'm throwing books toward the door so that discourage Nemo from trying to scratch at it.
I can't hear it.
Okay. Well, I can hear it. Damn it, Jim. I'm a doctor, not an ichthyologist.
So I did finally see that episode of The Flash that you wanted me to see with the mist, the gas guy. Nimbus?
Yes. Cool.
So what did you want to say? Because last time I talked to you, you were like, oh, you're going to see that one because I want to talk to you about it. So here I am.
I have no idea. I don't remember. It was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Did you see the next, the following one with Captain Cole?
I have not.
Okay, because that one's got a really cool thing that happens.
They made him younger, right?
Hell yeah. Well, I mean, they made the Flash, well, I guess 25 is normal age for a superhero. But it's all, you know, it's pretty engaging. It's like, it's actually Captain Cole, and they actually don't, they're not too cheesy about it.
Does he have a parka?
He does not have a parka. He does have the goggles.
The little Eskimo sunglasses?
Yeah, the sunglasses. But he does not look much like the one from the original Flash series from 1990.
The little old dude in the Eskimo outfit?
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't they go with that?
Because it's a new Flash, man. They're like rebuilding everything from the ground up. And it's a CW, so everything's got to be kind of hip.
Mm.
Have you, definition of hip.
Have you been watching Gotham?
I have. I have not seen yesterday's episode.
I didn't either.
It's interesting. It's not like, you know, what I imagine if I was like, oh, we're going to take the Batman universe and make it all drama-like. But it's entertaining.
I think they're doing a really good job of showing Alfred raising this kid. They're handling that really well, not being too cheesy about it. Like, the last one I saw, like, at the end of it, Bruce is intently going over all of these files about his parents' death, and Alfred has been trying to get him to eat and do all this, and finally he just gives in. He's like, all right, Master Bruce, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Do it right. First we need to alphabetize this part, but yeah.
Yeah. Alfred batize.
In for a penny, in for a penny worth.
Oh, God. So, I picked up my latest Audible books for the month.
Oh, yeah. What'd you get?
I got Heir to the Empire.
Oh, yeah, by Timothy Zahn.
Yes.
The first one of the Thrawn trilogy.
Yes. And I'm actually enjoying it.
You probably will enjoy all three of them.
Yeah, I think they're doing good. And the guy that is reading it, I don't know how many different people are coming in. But it may just be him doing all the voices because he sounds a lot like, well, everybody but Leia, really.
Yeah, it's I know most of the Star Wars ones were either done by Anthony Heald or Jonathan Davis. Anthony Heald, like, if he wants to do, like, he almost sounds exactly like Anthony Daniels, actually, but he's not. Although I know Anthony Daniels has narrated some of them.
Timothy Zahn, Mark Thompson is the guy narrating it.
Mark Thompson. Okay, yeah, he's actually done. He did the Legacy of the Force and the, he did Fate of the Jedi. I don't know if he did Legacy of the Force, but he's a really good narrator.
Like he does Harrison Ford dead on.
Yeah, he does a really good Han Solo.
Or he's like, he slows it down. All right, kid. Like
Chewie, plug him into the hyperdrive.
Yeah, almost like
a space John Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah. Space Joey. And then they add like sound effects and stuff to it too. So it's a good listen. Like you're like, all right, it's Star Wars, just audio.
It's pretty cool. I really like a lot of the Star Wars stuff they've done really well translating. And I know Timothy Zahn's done several books that they've I've read a few of them in hardback, but like several of them I've also read or read alternatively in as you know, been narrated to as far as these three, the Vision of the Future, Spectre of the Past, and Vision of the Future, which are kind of the follow-ups to the Thrawn trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just a few others, and I thought they were really cool. I don't know how much effort they're going to be putting into these in the future. I mean, because this is like, I think they decided to do the Thrawn trilogy before Disney did the whole we're going to buy this and kind of like excise the expanded universe.
Yeah, did they make a list of like what they're counting as canon? I mean, not that it fucking matters.
They haven't done an official list or anything yet, as far as I know. They've just said, like, some of this stuff is going to be, you know, going to be good. We're going to keep that, and some of it we're not. They just hadn't specified. And I think they're not going to do anything official until closer to or even after the release of Episode 7.
Hmm.
Because they've already announced, like, these are some of the characters you'll see, and these, you know, these are going to be Han and Leia's offspring. And you're going to be like, okay, well, if those are the offspring, then what about the ones we know from the expanded universe? I guess they're not going to exist anymore.
So they're not doing the twins?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I think what I've seen is that they have kids, and they may or may not be twins. The names are a little bit different, but I don't know, like, how much that's going to, like, negate what we already know. The answer is, I don't know. It's all up in the air. They took a chainsaw to the thing, and they're not telling us where all the pieces are dropping.
Like, I'm not nervous about it, but I'm like, if I need to just wait to get into expanded universe shit until the new movie comes out so that I'm not... Sorry.
Bless you.
So that I'm not all like, wait, that's not right.
Or Gesundheit on behalf of the bastard baby Jesus.
Mm. Ah, you listened. Yeah. So... I've been doing Lombardi for the past 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And before the first show, the director, we have lockers on stage, and it's kind of like, you know, football lockers. Like, there's no door. It's just like, there's the bench, and then there's a big locker in front of it with all your stuff in it.
Right.
You know, it's about yay wide, about 3 feet wide. And it's got a little shelf up top. So the director's like, I want each of you, because there's three football players, I want each of you to get some things and put them in your locker to kind of, like, give it character.
Personalize it, yeah.
Yeah, fill it up. Make it look, you know, whatever. So that's up to you. So I figured, you know, Jim Taylor was in really good shape. So I...
Put some steroids in there?
No, but I put in a lot of, like, you know, I found an... went into the... There's a big prop cage at the theater. I mean, it's huge. It's the size of, like, my living room. And so we went in there and we're, like, looking around on the shelves. So I found, like, an old bottle of aspirin, you know, from, like, the 60s and, like, some old ointment and some, like, basic stuff that you would expect to find in a locker, you know. I found an old football and I put in there and a jump rope. And so, you know, working locker. The guy playing... David Robinson, he put, like, he found, like, a trophy, and he put, like, a Bible up on one of the shelves, and, like, a putter. Okay, so, you know, like, yeah, like, he's an active guy. This is stuff that he does when he's not here.
Okay.
So the guy playing Paul Hornung, he's kind of a goofy dude. He goes into the prop cage, he's like, okay, stuff to fill it up. Here's a basketball. I'll put the basketball in there. And here's a big shrine of Jesus and Mary that is about a foot and a half high that you put a candle on. So he's got that stuck in the corner. Now, not a lot of people have noticed it, you know, because it, like, when you're in the audience, you don't look at it and go, oh, that's a big old Catholic shrine. But it is. It totally is. And so we're on stage, try not to laugh at it. So I've put, like, a bow tie on it, things like that. To dress it up a little, because they look so sullen, you know. Yeah. Not that it's not a dramatic play, but, you know, they're always so dour. They're like, you know what happened with us, and they're just it's depressing. So I found a little tiger stripe bow tie, and Jesus has it on, and he looks very happy about it.
That's cool. I think Jesus would rock the bow tie, and, you know, bow ties come in a lot of different flavors. So
yeah, and the best part is I didn't really tell anybody about it. So, that nobody noticed it until they were actually on stage. And that's a beautiful moment. I don't know. Have you ever done any stuff? Well, I mean, I know you do improv and stuff like that, but have you ever done, like, just a play?
No, not really. I've done, like, musical stuff, I guess, but, like, nothing that's been, like, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours on stage.
No. Well, it doesn't, it's not like it gets boring. You know, it's always kind of exciting to be on stage. But after, you know, seven, eight shows,
yeah,
you start going, well, let's make this entertaining. So at one point, I hand one of the guys a note. And anytime that happens in a play, watch the actor opening the note, because odds are somebody else has written something on that note to try and get them to lose their shit on stage. So the other day, I just wrote penis on the note. That's it. It doesn't take much. And that was enough to get him giggling, which had the worst possible effect, which got me laughing. So the next night I didn't do anything, but when he opened it up, immediately everyone on stage just thought, penis. And so that's it. So now we're poisoned. Like, I'm trying real hard to get over it, but there's no...
You done it. You done it now. There ain't no getting off this train we on.
Yeah. And that happens, like, every show. Like, the first show I did was South Pacific, and there's a part where Lieutenant Cable takes this child who has been presented to him by her mother as, like, a gift, and he's going to have sex with her. And on stage, he's standing... he's standing upstage, and she has her back to the audience. So, for the effect that they're about to sleep together, he pulls her shirt off. He opens it up, he, like, unbuttons it, opens it up, and then gets down on his knees in front of her. And then, like, they tumble down. And so, when the lights come back up, they're laying on the ground. It's like, they've done it. Ooh.
Yes.
So, we took to writing things on Liat's stomach before she would go out there. So, stuff like, happy birthday for his birthday, or blank was here with an arrow pointing down, stuff like that. It's magical. Anytime there's a book on stage, there's going to be something in it. Anytime there's like, I don't know, like if they're going to hold up a sign or something toward anything that the audience can't see.
But the actors can?
Yes, they're going to try and cause problems.
It's like a secret world of the stage.
Oh.
In a world where secrets happen.
In a world. Have you seen that the documentary, I Know That Voice?
I've seen 2/3 of it, actually.
Me too. I watched like 2/3 of it, and then we had to leave. So we paused it.
So yeah, I've seen most of it. I was like, oh, I was really interested in this. And then that was like September 30th, and then October 1st is when Gilmore Girls hit Netflix, and so I haven't seen... anything else.
So James, what's Gilmore Girls about?
It's about these two girls.
No, no, tell me about it seriously. You have to really let me believe that you love this. Why? And go.
Well, Gilmore Girls is about these women. Okay, well, one of them's like a 16-year-old, and the other one, who's her mother, is like 32, because she had her daughter when she was 16, and that was like such a big scandal for her, their parents, and so she hasn't talked to her parents, who are like these rich uppity people.
Is that the mom from Weeds?
Huh?
Is that the mom from Weeds that plays the mom?
No, you're thinking of Mary Louise Parker. Lauren Graham is the mom in Gilmore Girls, the 32-year-old.
Okay.
She was in Bad Santa. She was the one.
Yes, who, I know who you're talking about.
Jane hates it when I bring this up because, you know, that like ruined.
Fuck me, Santa, Santa. Fuck me, Santa. Fuck me, Santa.
Yeah, exactly. That was like my first, like, you know, I knew like Lauren Graham was on Gilmore Girls, but I'd never watched Gilmore Girls before I saw Bad Santa in like, you know, 2004 whenever it came out. And so she was like, fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa. So like, that's what I was thinking every time I thought of Lauren Graham.
As you should. That movie is magical. It is the season, by the way. It's getting closer to Christmas.
It is almost fuck me, Santa season. You're right.
It is, and I have a Santa suit. But it's not Thanksgiving yet, so you can't get too excited about Christmas, as is law.
Yeah, well, that's my thing. Like, I understand why they would sell Christmas stuff, but I don't like Christmas decorations being up in the month of November. Or, like, you know, I can, you know, once Thanksgiving is over, which is, you know, like the tail end. But
yeah.
They're like putting Christmas decorations up and be like, celebrate Christmas, like on November 1st. I'm like, why? Stop it. No.
Like, I went into a sandwich shop, and they were already putting up a Christmas tree, and this was right before Halloween.
No.
Yes.
No. Because that's like, that you're eating, like, 16% of the year with Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
That's just not, that's not the way things should be done.
I completely agree. Christmas gets a month at most.
Yeah.
Like, after the last Thursday, of November great. Go for it. Enjoy. Let's make it something special.
Special.
But I should be. I should have turkey farts before I'm even hearing Christmas music.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, holiday music shouldn't be played until after, you know, after the turkey gets carved for Thanksgiving. I mean, that's why, like, Santa Claus is at the very end of the Thanksgiving Day parade, because he's like, okay, we got all this other stuff, you know, we're that many Thanksgiving, we're giving thanks, we're celebrating cartoon characters and marching bands. And at the very end, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, it's going to be Christmas time.
He's
like,
Santa.
Today's festivities.
Yeah, I think Santa showed up at the mall like 2 weeks ago.
Fuck that Santa.
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't know.
Like, I get it. It's, yeah, we get everybody's money. Everybody's spending lots of money. But come on, man. I'm going to eat turkey without hearing Christmas carols until Christmas, where I'll probably be having turkey again. Because turkey's great. And Carol makes turkey a lot, so. Like, she'll just casually roast a turkey. It's awesome. She'd be like,
for some reason, like, the way you said that, I just picture her, like, kind of just, like, you know, walking nonchalantly down the street with a flamethrower strapped to her back. She sees some jive turkey.
She like, casually roasts turkeys, motherfucker.
Lay them down and slack them, jack them.
She roasts turkeys like ain't nothing. That turkey roasted. Roasted? Fried. Roasted. A boiled. Cajun style.
Oh, yes. Urgh.
But yeah, like last time she did a turkey, like we had one, and she just casually roasted it while she was painting. She was like painting a room, and she would come in and check on it.
Oh, like, okay. I thought she meant like artistically, like on a canvas with a subject.
She was painting the turkey as she roasted it. It was an organic piece. It kept changing. It was like one of those still lives where everything's rotting.
Oh, yes. To remind us all of the inevitability of death.
I like those.
Yeah, you would.
I like the big still lifes where, like, there's, like, a deer in the middle of the table. Like, it's not dressed.
Somebody shot it and, like, threw it on the table.
Exactly.
Everyone else is sitting there with knives and forks.
Yeah, there's, like, a deer, and then there's, like, a bunch of pheasants, and maybe a pig for some reason, whatever. They're just all laid out. And just like, look at this shit we killed. Now paint
it. It's the circle of life.
Paint it before it starts to stink. Also, I'm hungry.
Girl, just come in with a flamethrower and roast it for you.
Roast that deer. That would taste bad if you hit it with fire. You know, those things were not very successful. Flamethrowers.
Not percentage-wise. They were effective when they worked, but they
didn't work
a lot.
It seems like such a great idea, but
yeah, and when something goes wrong with a flamethrower, it goes very, very wrong.
All the way wrong.
All the way wrong. If you have a bunch of fuel strapped to your back and something goes wrong and that fuel becomes inflamed, you become part of the conflagration very quickly and you don't have a lot of time to do anything about it.
Except scream and burn.
Yes.
While all your friends are like, run towards them! Run towards the bad guys! You're about to explode!
Take as many as you can with you.
Yeah, no, you're dead. There's no opportunity for you to get out of this. Do us all a favor. It's like, I've been playing...
Do us all a favor and hug a Nazi.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of World of Tanks on Xbox.
Oh, yeah, it was like free on Xbox.
It's still free. Okay. It's totally free. It's a freemium game. So you can pay to get upgrades and stuff like that, but I started playing, it's like, I'm not paying money for anything.
Okay. So I saw an advertisement for it, and I was like, I'm going to download this, and I never played it.
You should totally do it. Okay. It's so much fun.
It's small enough that I didn't have to delete anything off of my 12-gig Xbox hard drive in order to play it, so.
Oh, we should totally play together.
Huh?
We should totally play together.
Okay.
We're not friends on Xbox.
Are we? Are we not?
We're not.
Okay.
Do you have the same name on Xbox? Are you Leo Fungo on Xbox?
I'm Leo Fungo, but the last letter in that is a zero instead of the letter O.
Look him up, folks.
Yay. on Xbox Live? I probably will not be playing for a while.
Because he's busy watching Gilmore Girls.
I'm busy watching Gilmore Girls. Although I do have an appointment to play Destiny with my brother on Friday.
I still haven't picked it up. I played the beta, but I haven't had a chance to really get into anything. That I really want to play.
Yeah. I've only played it for like six or seven hours, really. I haven't really gotten into it because I've been, you know, trying to do the job thing and everything.
Yeah. Well, I made the mistake of following it on Facebook. Like, they made a Destiny Facebook page. So I was always going like, oh, Rin, we've got another update. They've had like 40 updates and all this new stuff. I'm hopping into it late in the game.
Yeah. I was there at the beginning. I just haven't been keeping up.
Yeah.
But like every, you know, they're like, they'll post like, you know, Destiny has posted a photo, and you like, you get there and it's been like 12 seconds since they posted it, and they already have like 244 comments and 1,000 likes on it. I'm like, what the fuck are people doing?
Hey guys, let's chill out with all the.
No, they're not gonna chill out. I mean, I expect them not to chill out. It doesn't bother me. It's just like, you know, it's just, oh yeah, here comes the Destiny folks again. Which I was one of those people until the game actually came out. And not that I don't like the game. I really like the game. I just haven't like devoted the time to it.
Yeah.
And also Gilmore Girls.
It really is a time sucker, isn't it?
Oh.
They're just so sassy. And they get in adventures. I don't know. What do they do on the show?
They get in adventures. I've gotten to, like, we're into season 5. Uh-huh. 7. Like, we just started season 5, so we've gotten through about 22 episodes per season. So
like, they had, like, John Lithgow come on and kill a bunch of them?
No.
No crossovers with other shows?
That would have been cool. Are you talking about, like, him as, like, on Third Rock or him from Dexter?
Both. Oh, God. He's like an amalgam. He's Dick from Third Rock, but he's also a serial killer. And he hates himself for it.
Yeah. I would love it if like just Star Wars character. Actually, I would love it if there was like a Star Wars sitcom. That would be awesome. Like I wrote an idea or like for like a Star Trek one, where like, you know, they had like, you know, Starfleet people living in one house and like their next door neighbors were Borgs, and like the Borg neighbors like always wanted to like steal people's food for their barbecue so they could add its culinary distinctiveness to their own. But I think a Star Wars one is probably even more likely at this point.
Well, they do stuff like that on Robot Chicken all the time.
Where, yeah, but they use like these, you know, these are like little skits. They don't do like a continuing story like all the way through.
Well, if they did it, it'd have to be like somebody who's just not important, like a bunch of dudes that work on the Death Star, like not stormtroopers, like maintenance. Or even better, janitorial. Like the guys that refill the toilet paper. Like, you never see the stormtroopers taking off all that gear to take a shit, but you gotta bet there's gonna be a lot of time involved because those suits look solid.
Yeah.
And I've seen guys in it. I've never gone like, man, how long does that take to put on? Which, if you have an outfit and you want to give me a time frame, you can send us an email at dorkpodcast@gmail.com, dorkuepodcast@gmail.com. Headline, this is how fucking long it takes to put on Stormtrooper armor, and then tell me.
Don't forget to fucking.
Yeah, because I would really like to know. But, yeah, I'm guessing, you know, they're on a pretty standard diet on the Death Star. Like, they're clones, so they know exactly what their nutritional needs are. They have probably, like, some kind of paste like they do in the Matrix. Tastes like tasty wheat.
Yeah, it has all the vitamins and nutrients that the body, everything the body needs.
It doesn't have everything the body needs. They've got a droid for that.
Don't forget to fucking.
It's like R2, but instead of that little thing that he uses to plug in the computers, it's just a fleshlight. And it's always busy.
Wow.
I'm sure he's good. Or it. You'd have to make it an asexual being, really.
Yeah, to satisfy everybody's needs.
Yeah. Hey, TK41, I'm going to go hit the droid real quick. I'll be right back. Do you have this?
TK41, why aren't you at your post?
I was checking out the pleasure droid. Sorry.
Oh, okay. You got 2 minutes to get back to your station.
2 minutes? You know how long it takes to put this back on? No, I haven't got the email yet.
So, yes, Carol brought up the book, the Star Wars book, where they talk about when Boba Fett gets out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that book way back in the day. It was pretty good. Let's see, this is part of a trilogy.
So it was a ladder. He had a rope ladder.
It was a ladder. It was a really big ladder, powered by a jetpack.
So you just flew out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was like all like cooked and like covered in acid and stuff when he came out in the, what's his name, Dengar, like found him and he was like, oh, you need some help, and Boba Fett was like, because like he doesn't really speak in full sentences. But the name of the book was The Mandalorian Armor by K.W. Jeter, J-E-T-E-R. Actually, I was looking for Anthony Heald's books on audio on Audible, and I was like, oh, look, there's... I read that book. That's the one where Boba Fett comes out of the Sarlacc pit.
So Dengar is one of the bounty hunters. Which one is he?
He's the one that looks like he just got out of traction. He's like all like wrapped up head to toe, like a
mummy.
So you can see his whole face, and he's got a few like random pieces of armor on him.
Well, you know,
he has a big head injury.
MC Chris did that song, Fett's Vet.
I'm Boba.
Crisimos Espa, am I DeLorean? War is over, I'm a piece of Mandalorian. My story is something Star Wars historians deeply debate, but they play Ed Benigan's for a second of it. Yeah, you know the one.
Yeah, that one.
Well, he did a whole series of raps about all the bounty hunters. So there's Dengar's dump truck, Bosk on a Segway, IG-88's 57 Chevy.
I know the Boba Fett one is on Spotify, so I have to look to see if the rest of them are on there.
They are. There's one on every one of his albums. He's got one of the bounty hunter songs on each of his albums. And they tell their stories. It's fantastic.
I will have to check that out.
So Dengar finds him, and the end?
Didn't they have some adventures?
Do they? Do they find some Mandalorian armor?
They do get some Mandalorian armor, and then he finds a slave ship. He is able to fly that. He gets out, and he finds a guy that made the slave ship in the first place.
Slave one,
yes.
Is it really a slave transport ship?
I mean, no. I don't know why it's called Slave One. I never learned that.
So what's it supposed to be? Why does it look like a shoe?
That's just the way... I think it was a prototype, actually. I think it's like the only one in the galaxy.
That's good.
Like, we need to see if we can make something that takes off one way and flies up another way.
It looks like a fucking Air Jordan that he's flying around. It doesn't seem like good spaceship design. Because you got to climb up in it and lay down on the seat to take off. And like the Millennium Falcon, hey, we can go up this ramp. And then, it's a cargo ship. So, of course, it's you know, got ramps and shit. But what?
No, I remember having this argument with one of my Star Wars friends. And... when you take a look at the scene in Attack of the Clones where, Jango Fett is chasing down Obi-Wan in Slave One, like he's got, the ship has this profile because it's made for chasing things. So it's like, you know, got all this, you know, this air, you know, surface area that it faces toward its prey.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, can bring all these different weapons to bear in the way that it flies like that.
Yeah.
And the Millennium Falcon, in contrast, if you look at the way it's made, it flies so that if you're chasing it, it has a very slim profile. Like if you're from above or below, obviously it's like a lot broader. And so if you're chasing it, which is if you're a smuggler, you're going to get chased from time to time. Then you present a very small target.
Yeah, but so the YT-1300 light freighter wasn't created just for smuggling. It's just a freighter.
What makes it a good smuggler? I'm not saying it was made for smuggling, but that's like why smuggling.
Why it's a preferred ship.
The preferred use, preferred ship of you're a local smuggler. It is Han Solo approved. Do, do, do.
I'm Han Solo and I approve of this message.
I'm Han Solo and I sound like John Wayne.
I sound like John Wayne.
And you can eat the peanuts out of my shit.
Yeah. Shoot first. Shoot with a YT-1300 light freighter. Come to Dengar's, Dengar's certified used spacecraft. This heap of junk will go faster than you think.
Space Newton.
If you look at the license plate on the Millennium Falcon, it's actually got one of those things around it that says, I got a deal from Dengar.
Dengar's dump truck. Sorry, I was at we were at an engagement party. What happened? You disappeared. Okay, there you are. I don't know what just happened. Anyway,
you started drawing something.
I accidentally pressed a button. I thought I was on a different window. I was at an engagement party, and Jane is going to be with a bridesmaid. It's the couple for the couple, but everyone had name tags because we were meeting a bunch of different people from different parts of the families, and Jane had one that said bridesmaid Jane. It just looks like that was her name, like
bridesmaid
so
Jane.
It was like bridesmaid Jane. This is bridesmaid Jane.
But you could call me Jane.
I got Jane. My name was James Officiant.
Oh, you did it? You did a wedding?
No, this is just the engagement party. The wedding's not until April.
But you are the officiant?
I am the officiant. I am officially the officiant. And I will be efficient when I am the officiant. And that you can take that to the bank.
And I will, where it will bounce.
Bounce.
With my hand. I went to the bank to get money, as one does. But not as often as I used to, because I very rarely have cash anymore. But I needed cash to go to the vet to pay for my dog's surgery. Yeah. So the new hundreds are crazy looking.
Oh, the ones that are all like multiple colors and have the silver strip on them?
It's got a big old hologram strip on it that's like a Liberty Bell, and then it's got like a C note thing. They're getting fancy. Yeah. Like, you almost don't want to use it for Coke anymore. You're like, look how fancy it is.
They're very colorful. They're very, but they're still the same sizes. Like, they haven't done the thing where you can tell different sizes. You can't tell with your eyes closed, except for this one's got like a smoother strip, I would guess. But yeah, they're still like the exact same size. So if you're blind and you can't tell a 50 from a 1.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck, blind people. Was it Sweden that just came out with a bunch of new money that looks like it's watercolored? It's the nicest money.
Perhaps.
It's very pretty.
Like, make me feel pretty. It's so pretty. I feel pretty and witty.
Kronas.
Krona.
Well, I mean,
this guy like some pretty people on it. Oh wow.
Yeah.
There's like a fucking rainbow going on. holding up your phone to the webcam is not as effective as you might think.
Sorry. But no, they're really nice. They got really pretty money.
Yeah.
It looks like it's painted. Our money's so in comparison.
Yeah. Our money's boring to a lot of different, compared to a lot of different countries. Like, I was in England recently, and they have some pretty entertaining money.
Yeah, I like euros. I think euros are really pretty, too.
Yeah.
Like, I like the different sizes. That's handy as hell.
But I don't think I've been to a country that uses a euro.
Hmm. Well, they're nice. I also like the ubiquity of coinage. Like, you always have a ton of euro coins in your pocket.
You can get, like, a $5 coin or a 5-euro coin.
Yeah.
And it's like,
here you go.
We ain't got that here.
No. Like, if you're walking out of a bar after you just blasted somebody and you're going to flip a coin on the counter, it's going to be a quarter, and the guy's going, no. You're going to need a bigger, you're going to need some cash. Yeah. Folding money.
Sorry about the mess. That doesn't sound very good. Sorry about the mess.
What am I going to do with 25 cents? I can't even make a fucking phone call for that. I can't even call a janitor to come clean this up. Folding money. You better crumple something up and throw it at me. But better yet, plastic.
Sorry about the mess.
Republic credits, motherfucker.
The £2 note does not, or the £2 coin does not make a good ting sound. The 2 pence one does. Sorry about the mess. Can you hear that?
Nope.
Okay, well, never mind then. The point is moot. Sorry, that's the name of our trivia team. Here in New Orleans.
The question is moot?
No, well, the point is moot. The question is moot. There were no $100 bills during the 80 years. We're arguing because, like, the team number limit is 6 people. You can only have 6 people on a team, and we had 5 people, and we knew that there was a couple coming, and we were trying to think, okay, are we going to, like, split into 2 different teams? We're going to just tell somebody not to play? What are we going to do? And then The couple arrives, but it's not the entire couple. It's just half the couple.
So a person arrived.
Yes, a person arrived. And so the point was moot.
See, I maintain my singularity when I'm by myself.
You're a black hole.
I am. Like, when I show up... Well, I mean, once again, the point is moot, because when I show up anywhere, they're like, where's Carol? I'm like, am I not enough for you?
No, I think they want her instead of you.
Yeah, no, if there's one of us going to show up, they have a preference.
Right, not in addition to, and, you know, in preference to.
Weird, one of you is coming, why is it you?
It's got to be me.
And they're like, screw you, Jack.
Screw you, Benny. Sorry, I had a total recall moment.
Hmm. So, did you see the little bits that have been popping out about Batman versus Superman?
Nothing's incredibly significant.
There were shots of what looks like the death of Martha and Thomas Wayne from Return of the Dark Knight.
Return of the Dark Knight?
Or Dark Knight Returns.
Okay.
Like, the big old marquee for Mask of Zorro, and the cars, and dead people.
Yeah, well, that's from more than The Dark Knight Returns. Are you talking about, like, it looks like it was... It looks like it was... some storyboards based on Frank Miller's work from 1986?
Yes, it looks like they... It's not storyboards, man. They, like... They took shots of it, and it looks like they set it up to look like the panels.
Okay, they're, like, they're recreating that. Yes. 300.
Yes.
Okay. No, I have not seen that.
Well, there's that. And that's all I've heard. Have you heard anything else?
I've not heard anything else. I mean, I've heard, like, you know, this person's going to be in it. Cyborg's going to be in it. And this person's going to may or may not play Cyborg, who I can't remember right now. I've heard that, well, that's not a DC thing. Obviously, I've heard about Chadwick Boseman playing the Black Panther.
Yes. Yeah, they've really started pushing that. Like, not pushing it, but they've released a lot more information about it. And, like, they've really been trying to sell Black Panther. And, like, hey.
Yeah.
Look at this guy.
And it's like, you know, we're going to see, like, an Africa that's not just a bunch of, you know.
Afrofuturism.
Afrofuturism. Did you read that article?
I did read that article.
Well, did you read it off of my page, or did you read it somewhere else?
I read it off of your page, and then I posted it on the Dork page.
Ah, yes. Okay, that's why it didn't come up in the Dork thing, and they were, like, talking about, dork. I can't, like, yeah. Why does this keep bringing me back to my page? It's not my page, it's the Dork page, because somebody, yes. I'm with it, I'm hip. But yes, I'm excited about that, too.
Yeah, it's a neat concept. It's something that I've never seen explored in any medium ever, really.
Well, it's interesting, because I was just reading the John Scalzi book, Lock-In. Which is his most recent book. This is the same guy that did, like, Old Man's War, where the people, like, once they get 75, they, like, put him in younger bodies and make them fight wars.
Okay.
But anyway, that makes sense. This book called Lock-In, and I didn't... The whole idea is, like, there's these people that, like, can't move, they're basically paralyzed, and so they use robots to get around, or, you know, is, like, one of their options to get around.
Uh-huh.
Like, they, like, put their consciousness in robots, basically. And I didn't realize that the main character was black until, like, 2/3 through the book. and I was like, oh. Because, like, they talk about his dad, like, being a basketball player and then being a senator. But for some reason, when they said senator first, I assumed he was white, which is probably, like, a major problem in my brain.
Racist.
but, like, it's not like I pictured the character in any particular way, because, like, most of the time he's, like, in a you know, he's, like, a robot. And, like, Will Wheaton, I was actually listening to it on Audible, so, like, Will Wheaton was...
Oh, he's the narrator?
He's the narrator. So, like, I think I was just picturing, you know, when they talked about... Picturing Will Wheaton? I was, like, just picturing Will Wheaton.
As a black guy.
Then they talked about his dad, and it was like, oh, this image of this black guy doing this thing. And I was like, oh, okay. So I don't know if it's worse that I assumed he was white because he was a senator, or that I didn't... assumed that you would assume he was black because he had been a basketball player first.
I've actually got a worse story than that.
What? Okay.
Well, when I read It...
And Stephen King book?
Yeah, and you go through all the kids, and the last kid, like, I'm reading about it, I'm like, why are these kids picking on him? They give him so much shit. Like, they keep beating him up, and he's a little poor, but he seems like a nice kid. I don't understand why they keep attacking him. Like, the bullies really are singling this guy out. What the fuck's going on? And then, like, three chapters later, you're like, they, you know, they explicitly say that he's black. Right. And you're like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
Oh, well. If he's black, then of course they're going to pick up.
Because I was like, what? I do not get it. Because they talk about his dad, too. Like, his dad was in the army. The kid in It, his dad was in the army. And, like, the lieutenants would give him shit. Like, make him go dig a hole and then fill it in and then dig another hole. And, like, all the, just, like, all this crap. I'm like, why are they picking on this man? There's nothing, you know, to single him out. I don't understand. Is he... I don't get it. Does he use a mechanic or something? I just, like, why do they keep bothering him? And they're like, oh, he's black. And I was like, huh. Well, yeah. Okay. You got the fat kid, and you got the dork, and you got the stutterer, and, you know, you got the chick whose dad's beating her, and then the black kid. Okay, yeah. Avengers. Assemble. And fight the clown.
And the black kid.
And the black kid. Because...
is a Negro.
Well, I guess it... Like, it's set in Maine. And I've never been there. But I can't imagine there are lots and lots of black people in Maine. Mainly because... Who likes lobster that much? Unless you're born in Maine, you know. And they're all New Englanders. They all like this. Born there.
Well, it is the Pine Tree State.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. I just learned that on Quiz Up last week.
It's the Pine Tree State?
Apparently, if there was going to be a pine tree state, I would have assumed it would have been Vermont, but apparently it's Maine.
We got a shitload of pine trees. My neighbor's got one in his yard.
I know. We have plenty of pine trees. But, like, you know, we got, like, Cypress is something that's, like, you know, that is here that is not a lot of other places.
Well, Maine better be glad it's all the way up there.
Yeah.
We're going to come take the title. Buttholes. Actually, a friend of mine just came back from Maine, and he had a wonderful time.
Did he move to a pine tree?
Well, he went up over the summer, like for like a week, just randomly. He's like, yeah, I had a week, so I went to Maine because it's been a while.
Because that's what you do.
Well, I was like, Maine. Oh, why? He goes, because it's summer in Louisiana.
Which is hot.
Yeah, so he went to Maine. He's like, it's lovely. It's very nice.
Imagine it's not as hot. Or if so, then not as humid.
He said it was like the 60s. And this was September?
Oh, the temperature. Yeah, the temperature was the 60s.
There were also a lot of hippies all over the place selling lobster rolls. As one does.
I want a lobster roll. No, I want a lobster roll. Thanks, Nick.
I've never had a lobster roll, but I imagine...
But now I want one.
Classic lobster roll is just a hard roll, scoop out the insides, put in some lobster, steamed lobster, and then pour butter over it. The end.
Actually, it's probably not as good as Crab Rangoon. Like, I don't have a really sophisticated palate. When I have cravings, they're not for anything that's like, oh, you know, this penne pasta with cinnamon sauce and, you know, butter carpe.
Well, like, I've had lobster a couple times, but it was never enough for me to go, oh, this, truly, this is decadence.
What I want is I want to get, like, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 lobsters and, like, boil them in a pot in the same way that one would boil crawfish.
A guy in my office has done that. And he's like, it doesn't really soak up the flavor a whole lot.
Well, then fuck it. Who needs lobster?
Like, I've done oysters. I've thrown oysters into a crawfish pot before. It's all right.
It's not as enticing to me.
It's not as exciting.
Like, lobsters are the same shape. It's like they look like giant crawfish, so why don't you treat them like crawfish in a giant way?
Dude, I totally agree.
I agree as well.
All right, well, let's do that.
I just agreed with myself. All right.
Let's go kidnap some lobsters from Maine, bring it back here, and then torture them about the origin of why they think they're so pine tree that they can call their state that.
Yeah.
Punks.
Yeah,
You can say motherfucker. It's okay. It's okay, James.
Motherfucker. Shit.
Well, that's a crossing line. Motherfucker's fine, but don't go dropping shit bombs. Sir.
He said the fuck word.
Okay, so have you... Let's close with a downer. So have you read the leaked synopsis of Fantastic Four?
No.
Okay.
I've already heard terrible things about the movie.
It keeps getting worse.
So.
Reed and Ben work at a convenience store.
Reed Richards.
Mm-hmm.
One of the premier minds of our age.
Works at a convenience store.
That works at a convenience store. How old is Reed in this?
They're like teenagers.
How the fuck do they get to space to get hit by the cosmic rays?
Oh, they don't, James. They don't go to space.
How do you not go to space?
Reed.
Oh, this is why Marvel was so mad at them. They're going to end the fucking comic book series.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't go to space. Reed, he's bright. He works at a convenience store.
Yay.
But he's bright, and so he comes up with this theorem that Professor Storm, who is Johnny Storm's dad, and Sue Storm's adoptive father, because her dad died, was one of his partners and died in a lab experiment.
So Dr. Storm is black in this story.
Yes.
Okay.
And she doesn't like science. Ugh, she hates science.
Science
is terrible. God. So anyway, Professor Storm finds out this theorem that Reed has come up with, and he uses it to access the nth dimension.
Nth?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Reed invites Ben to come to the lab for when he opens the thing up, fires it off. And Sue and Johnny are there.
Sorry, when you said opens the thing up, Yeah. Knowing so, what I know about their code names,
Something goes awry, and it explodes, and they all get bathed in this nth dimension particles, and they get superpowers. And Ben is able to turn on and off the thing stuff.
What?
Yeah, he can do it at will. And Johnny changes color depending on his mood.
Sometimes he's like a blue flame, and sometimes he's a...
That's what I got gathered from it, yeah. And Sue and Reed, they don't like each other because she doesn't like science.
That's like one of those Sam and Diane type of things. I can understand that working that way at the beginning.
Yeah.
But and everything else I have a problem with.
And so Dr. Doom isn't a doctor.
Oh. Okay.
He's a hacker who calls himself Doom. And he's got a bone to pick with Professor Storm. And so when he finds out that all these kids have superpowers... Well, he breaks in to try and get superpowers for himself, and oh, geez, things go awry.
Why?
If only there was some kind of blueprint that Fox could have followed. If only there were decades of stories and history for them to access. If there's only a rogues gallery of... of creatures to access.
They've been around for 50 fucking years, the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
50 years. And they've had an origin and, slight variations on that. Mm-hmm. And, plenty of stuff that has worked, that has kept them popular, at least in the mainstream. People know who they are. People are familiar with the story.
Yep. But Fox, here's the thing. Fox hates making money.
Apparently.
They're all about the story, James. They want to create something new from something that has existed for decades.
Right, because people that have been buying these comics for decades...
They have no interest in seeing that portrayed
appropriately. They have no interest in reading... They're seeing the same thing that they've been reading up on the screen. They want to be like, this is Fantastic Four in the comics, so I want something completely different when I go to the movie.
Yeah, why would I want to see this on... That makes no sense. No sense.
Yes, because, what's popular is obviously not what is going to work.
Mm.
Obviously. Obviously, Fox. Obviously.
Mm.
You motherfuckers. Sorry, headed into Washington moment there.
Yeah. Well, with that.
That's not even that's not even close to my favorite comic book, and it irks the living hell out of me. It irks me. I'm irked.
Well, it's like irked. If Superman Lives had been made.
Oh, the Nicolas Cage one?
Yeah, where it's just like there's so, like, if you want to depart here or there, that's fine. Do you can flex a little bit. Make it interesting. Make it work for the medium. Great. But if you put him in a bodysuit that glows with no cape and he's got long black hair, okay, that's not the Superman we all remember, you know?
That's not Superman. This is not Superman.
And Victor Domonsky, a.k.a. Doom the Hacker.
Yes.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Why? Why do they... Why?
I don't know, James. The world's a confusing and scary place.
It is.
Yeah.
Horror.
All right, James. Well, I guess I'll see you next week.
Thanks for ending on a downer, you asshole.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, shut up.
I'm sorry, James. I'm sorry, James. You're about to
the expanded universe and then get depressed when it gets erased.
I heard there's a rumor that they invented a new dinosaur for Jurassic World.
Bye.
It is. It's called a D-Rex.
We're done.
The geneticist created a new dinosaur. It's like a big Tyrannosaurus Rex, except it's white and has stripes.
Where the fuck is my knife?
Okay, James. I'll see you next week.
All right, bye.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And you've been dorked. Don't. Sorry. Bye, folks.
Bye-bye.